This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
We just had Chris Ossenheimer with us from the Chronicle-Telegram, who is a fine writer, covers the Guardians, and does it with a real nice style that I enjoy. And we're talking about the offense. And, you know, I said just, and Chris perfectly summed it up, and we all know this. Okay, it's way too early to draw any conclusions.
Right.
That first and foremost, so we're not drawing any conclusions. What we are doing is discussing things.
Well, we're going to have some fun with it, for sure.
Keep in mind, there's a difference between drawing conclusions, because if you weren't allowed to talk about things through five games, then there's nothing to talk about with baseball. Well, it's only five games. Well, that's bad for sports talk radio.
Right,
if you're going to take that approach, that doesn't work very well.
We can't live in this world.
But we can say it's only five games, but, and then talk about things, which is what we're going to do.
Exactly.
And I watch this team and I think, God, how are they going to score runs on a regular basis? And in the last, two games in San Diego, they've scored two runs. Okay, that'll happen. In Kansas City, they scored 6, 3, and 7. So, you know, it's better. But San Diego has pitched very well in these two games, and that's the case. But I look at this team, and I told you there was one little thought that I have that's kind of an exception to all of this. But clearly, when you watch this team, at least last night, you thought, man, the only guy in this lineup who scares you is Jose Ramirez. But there's an exception. And I told Ossie, I said, a lot of things have to go well for this team to score. You got to see some guys. Here's the exception to me. I really like the potential of a lot of the guys on this team offensively. Stephen Kwan's already a really good offensive player. What Stephen needs to do is put together a full season. He didn't do that last year.
And I think he scares you in a different way than Jose Ramirez would scare you, in a different way than Vladdy Guerrero Jr. would scare you, Fernando Tatis. But, like, he does scare a pitcher, because you know if you're going up against that guy, he's going to work the count.
He's going to have
good at bats.
He knows
the strike zone. Yeah. He's going to foul off pitches he doesn't want to hit, and he has no problem whatsoever poking one in the hole and just constantly just, you know, peppering
the hole. Annoying you.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And I think that scares guys in a different way than a Jose Ramirez does. Like, Stephen Kwan continues to just impress the hell out of me every single time I watch him.
I would agree. The only thing I say about that, and we talked about this earlier in the week, last year he fell off the face of the earth in the second half of the season. Can't do that again.
Dude was hitting 400.
Well, no, but I mean, he ended up hitting like 220 the last half of the
season. Correct, and he was banged up and all that kind
of
stuff too. Yes.
You know, guys who don't hit for a ton of power and hit 220 should be playing in Columbus.
Agreed.
And then they'll be on their way to playing in the Mexican League. So I don't think Stephen Kwan is that kind of a player. I think he's a terrific hitter. He's just got to put it together for a full season.
But agreed.
I really do like him. Kyle Manzardo has looked like a guy who's got a plan, He knows what he's doing at the plate. He looks like a professional hitter. Mm-hmm. And he looks like a professional hitter with pop. And those are kind of hard to come by, Dan.
And something that wasn't totally sold with him when he showed up here. A lot of people
hitting lefties.
And a lot of people were wondering with him, is like, okay, is this, and this is a high bar comparison, so hang with me. Is it like John Olerud, where the guy is just a darn good hitter but doesn't have a boatload of power? He's not going to put the ball over the fence or anything like that. And it seems like he's not.
He seems like he's got a little more pop.
Right. He's a first baseman that's going to hit the ball over the fence a little more often than John Olerud did.
Lane Thomas is off to a slow start, so what? It's only five games. But offensively, I like Lane Thomas better than anything this team has had in center field in a long, long time. And that means Tyler Freeman last year, and that means Miles Straw. So
he's fast enough to be out there. The stick needs to come around.
And it will, I think. Mm-hmm. So I like that. I think that's a huge upgrade. Arias, we'll see. Rocchio, I think, is going to be a better hitter than he was during the regular season last year. And we'll see how that continues to go. I do love this. You've got John Kenzie Noel. You have Nolan Jones. Jonathan Rodriguez is up here right now. There are three great, big, strong guys who can hit the ball a long way and hit it hard if it doesn't go out of the park. I'm assuming, and we all know what happens when you assume, I'm assuming one of those three guys is going to become a pretty significant player for this team. Now, that's an assumption I probably shouldn't make. But I'm assuming they're not going to miss on all three guys. And I love watching John Kenzie Noel. Man, he's fun to watch. Nolan Jones is settling in. But when he walked up to the plate last night, and I thought, okay, well, we'll see. And he got called out on a bad inside high pitch that I thought, ooh, he was right. That was not a strike. Mm-hmm. And then he looked silly later on striking out. But it looks like, ooh, this guy could scare you. So I want to see if he can find it. And Rodriguez, if you remember, came up last year before Noel and had a little bit of a look. And I thought, this guy looks pretty good. And he had a great arm in right field. And I thought, let's see more. And then they put him down and brought up Noel, which is okay. Between Noel, I think Noel and Rodriguez are pretty similar players. Might be wrong, but they sure give me that feel. Power hitting right fielders who can maybe do some damage. And
Noel is a little more swing and miss to him.
Which is why I think Rodriguez might be a sneaky play here.
Makes sense.
Yeah, and I think his arm is better than John Kenzie's, and John Kenzie seems to have a pretty good arm. And we'll see what happens with Nolan Jones. That's the exception to me, is that I think there are some real possibilities in this lineup who just haven't really done it yet.
Right, and it's still super early.
Yep.
And we still have a whole lot of time in a lot of different places to make this all work together. But I'm with you. It needs to be more than Quan Ramirez.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And Zardo.
And I do like Quan. Yeah. Don't get me wrong.
No, I know you don't.
I think he's outstanding. I just thought, imagine if he could have duplicated in the second half what he did in the first.
Yes.
And not, I don't even mean hit 400. I mean hit 330.
Right.
You know?
And kept that level. But we'll see what, hopefully he spent the offseason getting into a shape that lets him last, 162 games a little bit better than he has in the past, or at least 150. Give me, 150, understanding there'll probably be off days along the way. I'm with you. They need somebody else to step up, though, and it'd be cool if that's Gabe Arias. Like, it would make life so easy.
Yeah.
If it was like, all right, Gabe Arias is that guy. It's finally clicked. It's finally rolling. Let's go. Or even if it's Bo Naylor hitting at an above average level for a catcher. Like,
agreed.
Even if it's just that one where, let's say that dude finds himself to, a 250 average with a 320 on base and slugs for something. like to where he hits 20 bombs in a season. He hits 22 bombs in a season, and you can point to him and go, yeah, but it's not a net zero at catcher,
yeah,
which is what you've had the last few years. Like, that would be really nice, and I wonder if we're going to see that coming from Bo Naylor, because it seems like the ball's coming off the bat a little bit harder than it was last year. I got to dig a little bit more before I totally say that with certainty, but, like, it seems like it looks better this year than it has in the past.
So, though last night, certainly against a good pitching Padre team, the offense looked putrid, and Jose just looks like the only guy that can scare you. I do think there are options. And then the Gabe Arias thought, I think, is interesting. He's off to a solid start. He's hitting .333. And that's swell early, yes. But that's a situation to keep an eye on, because we know Bezzano's coming at some point. I wonder this, and tell me what you think. Is Juan Brito coming up here? I mean, we all know Bezzano's the guy. But are they really hoping, pushing for, waiting for, can't wait for Juan Brito to warm up in Columbus when they get going and really start going and get him up here ASAP and get a look at him?
You're going to laugh. I don't think they care what the name is on the back of the jersey as long as somebody's standing at second base playing competent defense and hitting a baseball. I really don't think they care. They're just like, give us anybody who could give us a positive output at second base with the stick in their hands and play decent enough defense to call it passable. Does that make sense to you, or am I making this way too simplistic?
No, that makes sense. But I just, you know, it's weird to me. If I'm Juan Brito, if Travis Bezzano weren't sitting there.
Oh, yeah. We'd be having a completely different conversation.
We'd be having a completely different conversation. And he might be in a position where he can think, hey, I have an opportunity to make my major league career right here, right now. In four games in Columbus, he's hitting .313 so far. And that's solid, you know, that's fine. But, you know, Arias is hitting well here. I wonder if they force feed Brito into the lineup somewhere. I would think this. If, unfortunately, somebody gets injured, okay, let's say somebody has to go on the injured list, whether it Rocchio,
right,
Jose, you know, if it were happened to be Jose, I would think that Arias gets moved to short or third, and you're immediately calling Brito up, and then Brito gets his look. And if Brito were to come up here, regardless of what Gabe's doing, I would think they would come up with some kind of a move and keep a hot bat on the roster somewhere. So you can be sure Brito at some point, whether it be because Arias isn't doing the job or because somebody gets hurt, Brito's going to get a look as long as he's doing okay. And so far he's doing okay.
I'll give you another scenario that's kind of a deep, dark place when it comes to Juan Brito. Is he sitting there as Brian Rocchio insurance? Because that popped into my head at one point that if Rocchio's stick doesn't turn around, and it's...
Well, I would think it's this.
But like...
Arias is the Rocchio insurance.
Oh, interesting.
Because they would move Gabe over to shortstop, which is his natural position. And then Brito would come up and play second. So I think those three guys are, I mean, you're covered there. Brito, though he has played shortstop and played more third last year than shortstop, but I would think they're thinking of him not at shortstop, but at second or third.
Interesting. Okay. That's makes a lot of sense what you're saying. Because I wonder on that one, I wonder how long, and it's early, and I am a Brian Rocchio fan, and I am not selling any stock. We are not leaving the island. It may be a little dark right now, but we are not leaving Rocchio Island. I wonder how long the leash is.
Yeah, I wonder.
If the stick doesn't start to come around.
All I know is this. Man, is it great to have baseball back.
It's the best.
It absolutely is.
Watching Paul Skeens throw. It's awesome.
There you go. It's Basket of Phelps here on The Fan.